This is the WGXC Congressional Report. Stories about the New York 19 Congressional District from the past week and Representative John Faso and his Democratic counterpart Antonio Delgado and other candidates in the race to be the representative in New York's District 19. The website 538.com currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.2% of the time, down 1% from last week. 538.com also currently predicts Faso has a 47.2% chance of winning re-election, rating Democrat Antonio Delgado at 52.8%, which means the race is slightly tighter than last week. Inside elections moved New York's 19th congressional election between incumbent Republican John Faso and Democrat Antonio Delgado September 28th from toss-up to tilt Democratic. The 538.com website gives Delgado a 4-in-7 chance of winning, putting his chances specifically at 57.3%, with Faso given a 3-in-7 chance of winning, or 42.7%. Faso himself released his next advertisement this week, again focusing on his wife rather than his own votes in Congress. And the National Republican Congressional Committee released its third ad this week in support of Faso. Previously, the NRCC's ads have been called racist and pulled from one local radio station. This one is called Can't Afford Delgado.
Paul Kirby is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, is in favor of putting Brett Kavanaugh on the U.S. Supreme Court. He made the statement on a radio show before President Donald Trump ordered an FBI investigation of Kavanaugh's sexual assault history, but after the New York State Bar Association requested an investigation. Faso said, and I quote, "I think Judge Kavanaugh should be confirmed based upon his record, based on his writings on the bench, based on the fact that, besides this allegation, when he was in high school, he has an absolutely sterling reputation. I believe he should be confirmed, and I think that Dr. Ford's allegations should be taken seriously and that the country has taken them seriously," end quote. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford recently accused Kavanaugh of attempted rape in the early 1980s and testified before a Senate Judiciary Committee last week, more interested in performing for the cameras than getting to the facts of the matter. Faso said, and I quote, "I found her to have credibility in what she was saying. At the same time, it's very difficult for me to agree that uncorroborated allegations of misconduct 36 years ago when someone was in high school should be used to destroy a man's reputation, career, and his family," end quote. Several other women have also come forward since Ford's allegation was made public with similar stories of sexual attacks by Kavanaugh. Antonio Delgado, the Democrat running against Faso in the November 6 election, said on Twitter, and I quote, "This is another clear example of the stark contrast between myself and Faso. He believes Judge Kavanaugh should be confirmed. I do not," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The majority of voters in the 19th Congressional District support the imposition of several gun control measures, according to a new poll commissioned by the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence and the American Federation of Teachers. According to the survey of likely voters in the district, 64% said they would likely support a candidate who backs an assault weapon ban, background checks, and raising the age for legal gun ownership. Broken down by party, 87% of Democrats, 40% of Republicans, and 64% of independent voters expressed support for those restrictions and regulations on gun ownership. Numbers were closer on the subject of a national ban on the sale of assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition magazines, with 57% of respondents expressing support and 32% opposing a ban. 61% said they support legislation that would allow police and family to ask a court to remove firearms from and ban the sale of firearms to someone believed to be a danger to themselves and others. And 63% favor imposing increased gun safety measures over arming teachers and staff in schools and allowing private citizens to have concealed weapons in schools, which was supported by 26% of those polled. 72% said the better use for federal school funding is through mental health programs, drug and violence prevention services, and health and physical education, while 17% said giving federal money to gun manufacturers To provide schools the opportunity to arm teachers is better. The Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence and the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence are nonprofit organizations that advocate for gun control and against gun violence. The organization was founded in 1974 as the National Council to Control Handguns. The Brady Campaign's current goal is to cut gun deaths by half by 2025. A link to the full poll can be found on the WGXC newsroom page, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. While the National Republican Congressional Committee is flooding local electronic media with ads attempting to tie John Faso's opponent to New York City, the congressperson will be there October 5th raising money with Vice President Mike Pence. The John Faso Victory Committee, with a Westchester County mailing address, is organizing the event. Faso grew up on Long Island and now lives in Kinderhook. Antonio Delgado, the Democrat running for the 19th Congressional District seat November 6, was born in Schenectady and now lives in Rhinebeck. The NRCC ad claims the Rhodes Scholar is a, and I quote, big city liberal, end quote. Wikipedia reports Faso joined the lobbying firm of Monat, Phelps & Phillips as a lobbyist partner in 2002. He then took a leave of absence to run for governor in 2006, then rejoined the firm after he lost. Faso's lobbying firm then, and I quote, agreed to a $550,000 settlement in 2010 in response to a corruption probe in which the firm was investigated for its efforts to serve as a, and I quote, placement agent, end quote, for public pension funds in New York and California without a state or federal license, end quote. According to the Wall Street Journal, some, and I quote, of Manat's efforts to secure investments were made by John Faso, end quote. Ryan Sanstistevan is reporting for Poughkeepsie Journal that Democrat Antonio Delgado leads Republican incumbent John Faso among older voters, according to a new poll of people over 50 years old in New York's 19th Congressional District. The American Association of Retired Persons commissioned the poll from Alan Newman Research, who polled 610 registered voters between September 6th and 16th. Delgado led 43% to Faso's 36% in the poll. Healthcare costs and the future of Social Security and Medicare were the leading issues among poll respondents. After that, 77% of the respondents polled were worried about the social and political divisions in the country, according to the results. As for Congress, of the over 50 voters polled here, 61% disapprove of congressional Republicans, 55% disapprove of congressional Democrats, and 54% disapprove of President Donald Trump's performance. Read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Samantha Putterman reports for PolitiFact that Antonio Delgado's recent advertisement claiming that Republican John Faso, and I quote, paved the way for an age tax on seniors, end quote, while on-screen text displays that, and I quote, Faso voted for an age tax on seniors, end quote, is, and I quote, mostly false, end quote. PolitiFact, a nonprofit project operated by Poynter Institutes, calls Delgado's claim an, and I quote, exaggeration, end quote. The Rhinebeck Democrat, who is running to replace Faso in the 19th Congressional District, is correct in saying that Faso voted for the Republican replacement health care plan that eventually failed by one vote in the Senate. That bill would have let insurers raise premiums for certain older enrollees by up to 5 times more than what they would charge younger adults, while the current law only allows premium increases up to 3 times as much. But Delgado's ad failed to mention that the so-called age tax did not apply to New Yorkers or seniors on Medicare or folks over 50 with medical coverage from large employers. A Delgado spokesperson, Melissa Tofayan, told PolitiFact that while the age ratings did not apply to New Yorkers, Faso still voted for something that would have had negative consequences for seniors across the country. But Faso did vote for that unpopular Republican health care bill and now is trying to send a different message. Adam Cancren reports in Politico that this week, Faso, who lives in Kinderhook, signed on to back a measure that promises if Republicans replace Affordable Care Act, any new bill would have to have lower premiums, lower out-of-pocket costs, and greater accessibility to in-network providers. In their story, Politico calls Faso an endangered moderate. and says signing on to the theoretical health care bill is all the rage for Republicans across the country just before the November 6th election to improve their voting records in the eyes of the electorate. The story says Republicans in swing districts, such as New York's 19th congressional district, are weighing, and I quote, the delicate balance to strike between supporting Obamacare's broadly popular benefits and, end quote, their previous votes to do away with the Affordable Care Act.
Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, was on the Fox Business Channel talking about Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh and tariffs with Canada and the dairy industry.
Well, I just think that, frankly, the FBI should do their job, get the review completed. This would be, I think, the seventh review that Judge Kavanaugh has had during the many appointments that he has served the people in the federal government. And I think we'll see what the FBI says. But I also think that Senator Schumer is not exactly being sincere here, because his approach right from the get-go was to oppose Kavanaugh. And I think all their Senate Democrats are doing now is hoping for further delay. Let's see what the FBI comes up with, if anything. My sense is that there's not going to be any difference in terms of the FBI review, but let's see what they discover.
All right. They seem to be coming up with everything to throw at him in the book. He rooted for the Philadelphia Eagles, won Super Bowl. Therefore, he should not. I mean, there's just so many issues that are being thrown at the guy right now. Let's talk about trade, though. And I know that you certainly have been a big proponent of opening up the Canadian market for those constituents that you have in your district, in particular, those dairy farmers. How happy were you with the results of the Canadian-Mexican deal? And is it really a good deal, do you think, for American farmers?
Well, I haven't had an opportunity to read the deal yet, and I want to do that. But let me tell you, I think the Trump administration and the president, their strategy worked in terms of dairy, for instance. New York is the third largest dairy state in the country. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. But in upstate New York, we have a lot of dairy farmers, and they've been hurting. And they've specifically been hurting because of the unfair restrictions that the Canadians have put on so-called Class 7 milk. This is an ultra-filtered milk product that's used in production of cheese and other dairy products. It's easy to transport. A lot of New York farmers were shipping ultra-filtered milk up to Canada. And then the provinces and the national government in Canada put these arbitrary restrictions on. And at the same time, they've been flooding the international market, which has depressed the price. So this has been a real problem. Our dairy farmers across the country are getting paid today about the same in actual dollars that they were in 1982. So how many of us could survive if we were earning the same dollars that we were in 1982? That's the condition on America's dairy farms. And so the president is right in what he's accomplished here. I think the president has hit a home run for our dairy farmers. We have to do a lot more, like getting whole milk into the school lunch program once again. That was something that the Obama administration did, and we have to reverse that too.
Okay, well, that's something that you can take up certainly with the president. And I know that you were very, very keen writing a lot of letters to whether it was Robert Lighthizer or to other officials about what you wanted to see with this deal. Now we have it. My question, though, there was a really interesting op-ed in the Wall Street Journal today talking about the positives and some of the negatives with regards to trade. And they did bring up the Canadian dairy market, which is near and dear to you. And one of the points they made is that at the end of the day, maybe American dairy farmers will only have access to about 1% of the Canadian market, because there are still other, as you say, these crazy rules in place from the Canadians. They didn't just wipe away everything. It was just that one particular piece with that 275% tariff. So do you think that this goes far enough for dairy farmers?
Well, I think what it does, it's a pretty clear signal that the U.S. is not going to abide by these kind of arbitrary rules that the Canadians put forward. And I don't think you'll see additional rules like this in the future. Go to North Dakota, the wheat farmers. If you were growing U.S. wheat in North Dakota and you shipped it to a grain elevator in Canada, the Canadians were arbitrarily saying that wheat, despite its quality, was only fit for feeding animals instead of humans. So that rule has gone away. And out in British Columbia, they had a rule that said you couldn't put American wine on the shelves in the stores in British Columbia. That has gone away. So I'm hopeful that we can have a more robust and fulfilling trade relationship with our Canadian friends, and they are our friends going forward. And I think the president deserves accolades for the posture that he took on dairy and these other matters.